Afternoon, firstly, before I give you the technical explanation, good afternoon, and my apologies that we have kept you waiting. But just to explain, we have had to do a hybrid meeting because some of our technical staff have comorbidities and they are then online, and hence that we are connected via Zoom. You are connected to them. But they can also hear us, so they're doing the recording of the meeting. Just to explain again, out of the 20 interviews that we will be doing today, tomorrow and Thursday, we will not have any direct broadcasting. So there's no simulcast broadcasting. When we are finished with the interviews, the interviews will be live broadcasted. No, it will be broadcasted. There's no live broadcasting today, because we do not want to disadvantage those who came first and advantage those who have listened to the interviews as they were then broadcast. You then are not disadvantaged, and we apologize once more profusely for starting late. The critical infrastructure, we set out the advertisements, and then we did a short list of 20 candidates. The act was promulgated and ascended to by the President in November 2019, and then from 2019 you can understand there's been COVID, there's been certain challenges we've had. So there's a long process, you've been vetted, so you have met all the criteria to be interviewed, including having been vetted. So as a point of departure, could you please introduce yourself to this panel and tell them why you believe you are the most suitable candidate for this job and for this role? What is your areas of qualifications, your areas of expertise? And I'm coming to that to introduce the panel. And then after I've introduced the panel, or they will introduce themselves, you will be given that opportunity to speak. Honorable members, you can introduce yourself, and then you will introduce yourself. Honorable members.
Good afternoon, Mr. Khabaga Nenwe. Hey, Mina, I'm Zulu, so I'm sorry for pronouncing your surname wrong. My name is Zandile Majozi, and I'm from Inkatha Freedom Party.
Good afternoon, Mnumzane Lefty. I am Henry Andrew Chemene from Economic Freedom Fighters. Thank you.
Good day, thank you. I am Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam from the National Freedom Party.
Good afternoon. I'm Okater Blanche, and I'm from the Democratic Alliance.
Good afternoon. My name is Honorable Linda Moss. I'm from the African National Congress. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, my name is Patricia Selimis Peacock from the ANC.
Thank you very much. I introduced myself as Tina Jumat Peterson, the chairperson, and then you can introduce yourself to the panel and tell them why you think you're the most suitable person for this position.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, chairperson, and the members of the panel. As I've already, as you have already indicated my name, Chairperson, my name is Lefty Rabaganene. I would like to indicate that after completing my matric, I went on to complete my studies in civil engineering, whereby I did have obtained the highest qualification in Bachelor of Technology, Civil Engineering, specializing in water engineering. I can indicate that my area of expertise is with most regard with the implementation of water infrastructure, which I've specialized in. After obtaining my BTEC degree, I've been working with consultants in engineering that specialize in water engineering, whereby I've been working there as a resident engineer for a period of 11 years, and I've been involved into implementation of projects related to water engineering, and then I've been again related involved in projects that relate to roads, bridges, and again stadiums. I've been again, I've worked again as a director of infrastructure and technical services at the municipal level for a period of 3.5 years, which along my participation as the director in the municipality, I've been actually acting as the municipal manager twice. What actually I can indicate here to say put me in a better position to be a suitable candidate, I can say looking at the requirements of a critical infrastructure member, if I'm looking at the requirements that are indicated in there, I can say educationally I do qualify. Again with the experience that I've acquired, it makes me actually best candidate to become a member of the Critical Infrastructure Council. The other thing, the other qualifications that have been indicated, they're indicating that the vetting stages and all these things, they put me in a better position to become actually a suitable candidate in this critical infrastructure position. I'll thank you for now. This actually first describes myself, and then again, why am I the best suitable candidate for this position? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much again for agreeing to be a candidate to be interviewed. Honorable Peacock, it is your opportunity to ask a question now.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question would be, what is your understanding of critical infrastructure, and why should critical infrastructure in our country be protected.
Okay, thank you very much, Leo. My understanding into critical infrastructure, these actually are structures that are identified and then in order for to be preserved for the communities, so that they are utilized in accordance by the public service, by the public. So the reason why this before again the bridges, the roads, the communication systems as well form part of the critical infrastructure once they've been identified by the minister and then again declared to be critical infrastructure, whereby a whole or more than one of a critical infrastructure is regarded as an infrastructure, critical infrastructure complex. For it to be, for this critical infrastructure to be, why are they supposed to be protected? They are supposed to be protected for the preservation of the future generation or communities, for them to be able in the future to utilize them. They are protected since most of them are the national key points. So that if ever they get accessed into, there might be some vandalism to those infrastructures. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Peacock. Are you happy? Would you like a follow-up? Any other member? The next question would be Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mr. Makana, what is the surname? Do you think that the public should be allowed into the critical infrastructure and be free to take the photographs?
Okay, good. Thanks very much, Honorable Shagin. My take into this is that since an infrastructure, before it becomes a critical infrastructure, there are processes that need to be followed. So actually, the public should not be allowed once an infrastructure is declared and a critical infrastructure. The reason being, and they are not supposed to be taking photographs. As I've indicated, that part of this actually they are again national part of national key points. So because once you start taking photos, for an example, let us say in the ESCOM, for an example, power station. Let us say maybe there are some things of load shedding going on, of which they are still not supposed to be taken to the public. And then a person comes and then take a photo of something that's still not the minister has not yet been informed about. And then the public already knows about it, and then it has been circulating the photos of that. So they are not actually allowed to be into those critical infrastructures, and then even the photos as well, they are not supposed to be allowed to take. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh Imam. Do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, Chairperson. I just want clarity on this, sir. Are you saying that no critical infrastructure is to be allowed photographs? I'll give you a good example. If people come to Parliament, which is also a critical infrastructure, and they want to take pictures of our late Madiba there and others with us, would you say that you should have a blanket rule that no one at all, or you need to do an assessment based on the seriousness of the risks attached to it?
Okay, Honorable Sheikh Imam. As I've indicated to say before, if for an example, if there are some other things that don't need to go into the public, is not actually allowed. So it needs to be evaluated before. As you are indicating for other infrastructures, like in the Parliament, I suppose there are some other areas in the Parliament whereby people are not just allowed to go and have take photos. For an example, let me just say is a dam. You can be able to can get a photo of the fencing, but inside there are some areas that actually are not supposed to be allowed for photo taking. So I'm saying those areas, they are not supposed to be allowed for photo shooting, because that will expose for some other things that the seniors of the Parliament have not been there before. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh Imam. Do you have another question?
Thank you very much for that. Yeah, Chairperson. What do you believe is the role of the police and security agencies with respect to critical infrastructure and its protection hereof?
Okay, good. I think the main role of the police and the security agencies is for them to ensure that the the infrastructure, the critical infrastructure, is actually well protected and well taken care of for the future preservation. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much. Honorable, can we first take Honorable Majozi or Tablan? Should you have a follow-up?
Yeah, person, yeah, I have a follow-up question. Sir, can you just, what you conveyed to us now in your last response, is that contained in the relevant legislation? Have you consulted the legislation at all?
Yes, I can say that actually reflects on the Critical Infrastructure Act of 8, 2019. So that actually the legislature that goes with what I've conveyed is coming from the Critical Infrastructure Act 8 of 2019. Thank you.
Yes, Honorable Sheikh Imam and then Honorable Shembeni.
And what is your view on the security agencies? What is their responsibility in terms of this?
The SF already indicated that the role of the police, it goes actually in parallel with the role of the security agencies, whereby the security agencies will be ensuring that those key points and the infrastructure they are well preserved and they are well protected as well. So as I've indicated, I can say they correlate, their roles actually goes hand in hand. They are they run actually parallel. Thank you, Honorable Imam.
Thank you, Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chair. As far as I get the explanation, the two different questions have got the same explanation, of which I wanted also to ask that the role played by the security agencies in the critical, with respect to the critical infrastructure, what are they? Because now we understand now the issue of preserving. But what else are the duties of these security agencies in these infrastructures? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shemin. The security agencies will actually after, like, I'm actually mentioning this thing of protection and the preservation of the infrastructure. I'm mentioning it because once those things are protected, the security agencies will ensure that the occupation of those the critical infrastructures are as per the way they needed to be when they were occupied. They remain as their original state. Not for those infrastructures to be utilized and then left for them to be deteriorating. They will need to be preserved, as I've indicated, that they maintain the same state of how they've been looking like before any occupation or after the occupation. So that is what actually I can indicate by saying preservation is that pre or post occupation of the said infrastructure, the security agencies will ensure that the same infrastructure remains at the state that it used to be pre and post occupation. Thank you, Honorable Shembin.
Thank you, Honorable Shembeni. Could we then indicate Honorable Majozi, if you would like to come in now?
Thank you, Chair. Okay, maybe let me ask this question. Can you list a few critical infrastructure that we have in South Africa? Just two that you know that are national key points.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Majozi. I will study the communication facilities, which actually one is ICASA. The South African Airways. The Eskom, Frasa. So those are the ones that actually I can mention.
Okay, thank you. No, I wanted to check before I continue with my question, because I didn't want to confuse you, only to find that maybe you are not aware of such. In your opinion, what are the key challenges facing the Council, and what role should the Council play in strengthening critical infrastructure?
I'm fine, yeah. The key challenges that currently I can say the Council is facing, I'll mention two challenges, two. The first one is the infrastructures, actually, infrastructure, this critical. they come up in from two sectors, public and private. So it becomes more challenging, firstly in identifying those ones that actually are supposed to be declared from the private sector. So that's the first actually challenge. And then the second challenge is the second challenge is the ongoing or the continuation of maintenance of those infrastructure after they've been declared, making sure that these infrastructures remains at a desirable or good conditions, a good state. So that as well becomes is a challenge. I can indicate here again that the role of the council in strengthening such will be for the council actually to ensure that they expedite the identification before the declaration of those critical infrastructure. So it should be the expediting the processes, and then again the council should ensure that the recommendations, because the council itself gives the recommendation for the declaration of the critical infrastructure to the minister, as well they should make sure that all the processes are completed in quickly. So I think that is what I can mention in regards to the role and the key challenges of the infrastructure council.
Thank you, Honorable Sheikh Imam, and then Honorable Majosi.
No further questions.
Thank you.
Could you just tell us what is, in your understanding, the responsibilities of this Critical Infrastructure Council? Is it to secure our critical infrastructure, or do you think its mandate is also to concentrate on maintenance and those matters?
Okay. Good. Thank you. The main responsibility of the council actually it will be to first they recommend actually after they've been identification and declaration of such critical infrastructure, they come out and then recommend to the minister for that infrastructure, in order for it to be declared critical infrastructure. So with maintenance as well, I think it will be after it has been declared a critical infrastructure, there should be in terms of budgeting and the likes. So in order for that infrastructure to keep on going, there will be whereby there's a need for maintenance. Since knowing that in each and every infrastructure, in order for it to have a long life, it needs to be regularly maintained. As well, I think once immediately the infrastructure, it has been declared so, there should be on the other side a recommendation or an advice to the minister for him to know that the infrastructure, as well, since it's critical, it needs to be maintained throughout. There should be a plan and a plan on how are we going to, on how this infrastructure needs to be maintained going forward and up until to its life term. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable de Blanche.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sir, can you just tell the panel, name the key strength from a technical and leadership perspective which you will bring to the CIC if you are appointed, and what do you think are your areas of growth or further development, what do you think would be needed? Thank you.
Okay. Good. Thanks again, Imam. What I can indicate as should I get appointed, the area of my growth where I can indicate is, since I've already indicated that I am a civil engineer who specializes in water infrastructure. I think with regard to the qualification that I'm already acquired, the area which technically so I can see myself actually being room to grow on is the area with that contains disaster management, which in our path of area we do like a fragment, a small portion of it. I can say with that combined with the infrastructure, and then augmenting what I've already have, it will be very much important, and to me it will assist a lot if that area as well I become more conversant with. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Moss.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine will be on the stakeholders' relationships. Managing the key stakeholder relationships is an important responsibility of the CIC. At times, stakeholders can be very demanding. Describe how you manage unreasonable stakeholders' expectations. If you can observe what's happening for the last years in South Africa, every time we come near the elections, perhaps you see people are toying, burning infrastructures and those things.
Good Honourable Moss, what I can indicate here is the stakeholders' relation or behaviour. Since we look at the percentage of impoverished in our country, I think our stakeholders as maybe communities and the likes, they really need, you know, education, just a basic education on this infrastructure, critical infrastructure. I think that is actually that needs to be done, Honorable Moss. Thank you very much. Education, I can say education, people, they need to learn and then be taught how important these things are, how useful are they, how our future generations will benefit out of it. So that I can say, that's the only thing that needs us to indicate to the communities down there as part of our stakeholders. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh Imam. Sheikh Imam, and then Honorable Majozi.
Am I going to my question or I'm going to follow up? Oh, okay, my question. Okay. Now, sir, being appointed on this very, very important critical infrastructure council comes with a lot of responsibilities. It comes with ethics, integrity, and also what you also need here is experience and everything else that goes to it. Now, my question to you is, have you ever been criminally charged and or convicted or had serious allegations of corruption, fraud, theft, or maladministration, or have you ever appeared before any disciplinary hearings for either of the above or gross insubordination, absenteeism, dereliction of duty, etc.? Now, I know that the municipality you came from had serious problems with corruption, and I think we're talking about hundreds of millions of rands in that particular municipality where you had a short stint, I think, as the municipal manager and things. I know the Auditor General had damning findings. SIU has been involved. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and whether, my question ultimately is, have you ever been fingered in any of this in terms of corruption, maladministration, dereliction of duty, or held responsible for what has happened in the municipality or so, if you can perhaps tell us? And then lastly, I think I'm going to add it into that, Chairperson, is, you know that we have a serious challenge in the country at the moment, particularly with gender-based violence and things, and it is my view and many of my colleagues that the state must stop employing people that do not take responsibility as fathers, particularly in paying maintenance and being there, because when they don't do these things, these children are ending up as dysfunctional families, and that's why we have such a high levels of gender-based violence. So on that second part, if you can tell us what is your views on that, in terms of, because we find many, many fathers are not even paying maintenance for their children. They have children here and there, don't even see them, don't pay attention. I'd like you to just comment on that.
Okay, good questions, actually, Honorable Imam Sheikh. What I can indicate is that when I started working for that municipality, I'll cite the example actually that got the municipality into the limelight. Firstly, is the VBS. Yes, when I went to the municipality, of which actually the chain of all those irregularities and failure for the municipality to provide services was due to the investment of the VBS, which when I started there, it was a new administration, which they only had 1 year. So the last investment loan was done, because I was the director of technical services, was done when I was 6 months, it was in December, when I was 6 months into my duties. However, there was something that was happening behind, because the acting municipal manager, Humas Busan, was requested to sign off, approve a 100 million investment into the VBS, of which those investment were already done. So because that is actually is no more a secret, it's something that everybody knows. We've got the forensic report that was issued. So there was some ill advice to the municipal manager, which the CFO himself, he would request the municipal manager to approve, while that investment had long gone, years. So from my side, I was not actually part of that, because the CFO, when it finally started being well known that there was money that was invested, because there was a scenario whereby the papers that were submitted to the mutual bank had 100,000 instead of 100 million, because the municipal manager signed for 100,000 instead of 100 million, but 100 million was already submitted. Yes, so it was requested that all this get investigated, because we did not form part of that. It was only been formed by the municipal manager and the CFO. So from my side, I've never been actually found to be involved in any of these activities for corruption. There is this a scenario whereby you know Operation Mabon, whereby there was a consultant who was appointed in 2014 by the name of I forgot his name, but I'll tell. So he was there to electrify, in order to cap the backlog. So instead, there was a money that was coming from DOE. So that money was utilized for the payment of this thing, to patch on the depth of the VBS.
Sorry, my apologies. We still have more questions which we would like to ask, and we're going a little bit off the topic. Could we stick to the topic, please? Honorable Majozi, you had another question.
Okay.
Oh yes, thank you, Chair. It was a follow-up on question 9 in terms of stakeholders. I just wanted to check, in your previous work, did you maybe deal with different stakeholders, and maybe in your experience, how besides educating them on certain maybe things that they should know, of how would you engage with them? What is it that you would do on other stakeholder? Because you mentioned that the most critical, important responsibility of the CIC is to educate communities. How would you do that? Where will you find them? How, in your past experience, have you dealt with such a responsibility, maybe of dealing with different stakeholders, and maybe how were they
the engagements in between.
Okay, good. I think yet another good question. Our engagement with the stakeholders is that we normally request that they've got some what you call representatives, so that we show them the importance of deliver the services. In my previous working environment, how important is that? We indicate that, and then they go back, and then they spread the message to other parties involved. So, for an example, when you're saying, how did we deal with? Have we ever been involved in such giving education to those stakeholders? Yes, you know when you're working at the level of municipal level, there becomes some protest whereby communities sometimes they'll raise an issue to say they need they call it a cake piece, whereby some others they just want to be paid without doing anything. Some others will say we need to be subcontracted into this project. So remedying that will be just from ourselves, because we involved the Mahoshis chiefs, but it did not work. So we said, no, it's fine. There should be actually a person liaising as a bridge, whom we call it a facilitator, whom the contractor should appoint. And then for any protest that is happening, he should be involved and ensure that that thing gets resolved before it can even reach the municipality. That is how actually we've been dealing with that in the municipal level. However, in this level, like now, you have asked or how are we going to be dealing with it. We sort of encourage workshops, whereby in the workshops there will be somebody actually representing those stakeholders, so that after we have given them workshop, and then he goes back and then share that with those other members of the stakeholders. Thank you very much.
One question wasn't answered.
Yes, you may. And Honorable Moss, are you done? You happy? Okay.
All right, I think you've answered the one, but just the one on the issue of maintenance and a responsibility as a father to children and things. If you could just respond to that one, just you know.
Okay, thank you. Let me just indicate that I can assure you that GBV is one of those pressing and stressing issues in South Africa, and I understand the raising up of because most of these issues they involve perpetrators as men. So I think as a man, you growing up from a family, you should be actually be raised in such a way that you be given example, or you see exemplary as somebody, maybe from your father. What is it that he's doing? And if your father is astray, you're going to be, you'll mimic all his activities or whatever that he's doing. So, myself, Imam Sheikh, if I can indicate, I've got 4 children, of which even now, if you can check, I've never been taken to maintenance. I've been living with the first mother, even though there were some issues that led to myself to leave that the lady. I'm now actually with my second wife, whom I've got 2 children as well. I'm actually looking after her. We've got children, we are staying with our children, we are making ends meet, and even if you can go and check anywhere, I will never, I'm even afraid to can lay a hand on a woman. The way actually my father and my mother raised me. So
just to cut that short again, all my question is, you've got children from both, are they being maintained, all children? That's all, simple question, that's it. I don't want to put you into that awkward situation.
They are being maintained, 100%.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions you would like to ask the interview panel?
I can say the only question that I've got, because with regard to this, I think I don't have any question, but the only question that I'd like to check, there are some steps, even though for an employer to get to the appointment stage of so I just want to check actually what are the steps that's still gonna be fulfilled, and then how long will that actually take?
Thank you very much. What happens now is that of the 20 candidates that we interview, 10 will be proposed to the minister, and of the 10, the minister will appoint 5. So after we have already vetted all of you, so after these interviews, we will have to go back to the committee, because this is a panel which has been established by the committee. The committee needs to approve all the processes, and from there the committee has to take it to the National Assembly. Parliament is on recess now, so we will reconvene in August, mid-August. So from mid-August, the committee will meet to receive the report, and then the report will be tabled in the National Assembly for adoption before it gets sent to the minister. The minister will then appoint 5 of our 10 recommended candidates. So please be patient, there's processes which we have to conduct, and as it is now, we are on recess, but I have called all the members to come to the interviews, because we had to conduct the interviews physically. Obviously you can understand it's the first time we have a hybrid interview session where some of us are here physically and others are on a virtual platform. So it's a hybrid session. We've had some technical glitches, so please thank you very much for being patient. We'll be able to run this a bit more smoothly tomorrow. I apologize profusely to you for having to have kept you waiting, and thank you for your patience.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
That brings to the end the business of today and the interview. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming and agreeing to be interviewed.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Good.
I'd just like to make a few announcements before you do
leave the venue. Mr. Lobby, can you please sit down? We are making a few announcements before we do a finish. The one is that we are trying to get a better venue for tomorrow because of the technical difficulties we've experienced. You saw that we had to keep the candidate here when I wanted the candidate there. And it's not very good because you can't see the candidate from where you are sitting. And it's really clumsy. So I really want to apologize because today it was a really, really clumsy arrangement. What we did today was really unprofessional. The technical difficulties you have, when you put the telephone here in front of me, there's an echo. I cannot hear myself speak. The candidate is listening to an echo. I'm sure you also heard the echo. And it's disturbing. We cannot think, you cannot concentrate. I have to ask my own questions. I have to write my notes. And I have to chair the meeting. And I have to listen. So this is not the way in which we can conduct business. There is a proposal that tomorrow's venue will be changed. Do you have that? Do you have the proposal that tomorrow's meeting, there is a proposal that tomorrow's meeting will change? The venue of tomorrow's meeting. Can we just check with Dr. Kinnis?
E249.
So there's a proposal that we get a better venue. That's the first thing I would like to make. You second that. The second proposal that I'd like to make is that we request the staff to see how Dr. Nkwepe Ntswane's health is doing. Because we've interviewed 4 candidates today and it's not my place to make a judgment call, but I think we need to get Dr. Nkwepe Ntswane because we're very thin on women. And out of the 10, remember, we are going to expect me to have 50-50 gender representation. So that is also getting a little bit complicated for me. Can you please find out Babawa and Sutu how they are doing? We had to make rearrangements for people because we started late. Please, Mr. Lobby, your documents were not up to standard today. The scoring, can you score the candidates? If you want to keep your documents today and only hand in your documents on Thursday, could I allow you to hand in your documents on Thursday? Because I have a problem with how I scored the first. I think after listening to 3 candidates, I have different scores for everybody. So I don't want to say who I scored higher, but my scores, which I did this morning, is completely different to the scores I'm doing this afternoon. Sorry? So can we do the following? Can we take out, and this is why, Mr. Lobby, you see, I really have problems then. Can we make forms? This one here is okay. We can have the date and the time on this one. This one is okay because we're writing the name of the candidate in this. afternoon, Doc. But can they give us this one here where the name of the candidate is not in? The one with the scoring. So that we have the name. Can you remove the name of the candidate from this page? And on, so that you give it to us again tomorrow without the name. Because I promise you, I want to redo mine. The scores I gave this morning is different to the scores I gave this afternoon. And I'm sure by Thursday I'll be giving even lower scores.
Yeah. So, can we get the starting and the finishing time of this last candidate?
The last candidate, what time did you score as starting and what time did you score as finishing?
That's what we want.
It was 15? This person, it was 15:05.
Yeah.
It was 15:05 and we finished
16
hours. No, it was 15:15, sorry. It was 15:15.
Yeah.
It was 15:15 and we finished 16 hours, okay. To 16 hours, thank you very much. Can the staff also, can you please give time when we start and when we finish? So that you can tell us when we started and when we finished. You have to record when we started and when we finished as the staff, please, eh? So I'm proposing another venue. I'm proposing that we also have more forms so that we can change our scores because, as I said, today we have different scores. Do you have the Act? We sent you copies of the Act. We made copies of the Act. The English is on the one side. On the left-hand side, you will find the English. I don't know how members come, how people come for interviews and they haven't prepared themselves already. I've never seen lawyers coming for an interview who haven't read the act. How do I get this one to represent me? Alex.
Oh my God.
What, sorry?
No, on the other side.